Next item, please, is first time certain item, 874.
Proclaim September 2019 to be Recovery Month.
Colleagues, today we have
You might just wait for a second because people are moving around.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, sure.
Moving in, moving out.
Changing of the guard.
Mayor, should we invite people forward while we're waiting?
Yes, why don't we go ahead and do this? This is
Marshall?
Somewhat different and exciting because Oregon Recovers is sponsoring this proclamation to bring awareness around Oregon's rankings, fourth in addiction rate and 50th in access to addiction treatment. They're building a coalition to help make Oregon a recovery state. Mayors in Bend, Medford, and Eugene have all issued similar proclamations, and I know that Multnomah County is expected to take this up on the 19th. So this is truly an organic, community-led proclamation that's coming here. I think it's very exciting, and we welcome our first speakers here. I also want to acknowledge that State Representative Tana Sanchez is here as well, and we're appreciative of her leadership. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ciara Medmo, and I'm the co-chair of Oregon Recovers, I'm here today to kind of act as our MC, I guess, for lack of better words. I am a child of a person in long-term recovery. My dad's been in recovery all my life. He's originally from Celilo, as many of you know, up the river. And I just want to thank you on behalf of Oregon Recovers for giving us some time on today's agenda, on behalf of many of your constituents who are involved with Oregon Recovers. And I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge those folks in the room. If you're a person in long-term recovery, I would love for you to please stand. Oregon Recovers was launched 2 years ago. We came together, and our main mission was to fix the fractured and incomplete addiction recovery system. So we're made up of folks who are in long-term recovery, their friends and family, and the folks who care for them. So our treatment providers, our peer mentors, et cetera. You know, as a daughter of a traditional storyteller, I like to say that words are important, and it's important to us that we say fractured and incomplete and not failed or broken. We want to recognize that there are a lot of providers out there who are doing hard work every day to save lives, and recognize those folks in their work as well. But we all know that Oregon families and families certainly in the Portland metropolitan area are hurting because of addiction, because of this disease. And my own personal involvement is because I've lost family members, my uncle not a couple of blocks from here because of addiction. So that brings me not only personally but professionally to this work.
Excuse me.
Today, you join City Council colleagues in Bend, Medford, and Eugene who are also recognizing addiction as a public health crisis and are moving in solidarity with their local communities as well. More cities are expected to officially join this movement before the year's end, as well as, you know, the other thing that's happening right now is the Statewide Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission is looking to come out with a strategic plan to begin to address the issue of addiction and come up with some more robust recovery-based metrics. To hear more about Oregon Recovers and the landscape right now, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Marshall, our executive director.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. Thank you so much for having us today. My name is Mike Marshall, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as the executive director of Oregon Recovers. I'm also a person in long-term recovery. I have 11 and a half years. And I'm not Johnny Gage. Johnny Gage was supposed to be here today from the executive director of Miracles Club, and he's more eloquent and better looking than me, but so I'm filling in at the last minute. And my job is to present the facts, and the facts are dire. And honestly, the purpose of us, of Oregon Recovers, coming to the different city councils and the county commissions was to help educate both you and then ideally the public through the media that are here today as a consequence of this, of the fact that according to the federal government, Oregon has the fourth highest addiction rate in the country. Almost 10% of the residents of Oregon suffer from substance use disorder. And we rank 50th in access to treatment. 50th, dead last. And as a consequence of that, we have 1 to 2 drug overdoses each day in Oregon. We lose 1 or 2 Oregonians to drug overdoses. But we lose 5 people a day in alcohol-related deaths. 5 people in alcohol-related deaths. That's a combined total of over 2,100 a year. So at the height of the AIDS epidemic in 1994, Oregon lost the worst number of people, 364 people. Compare that to 2,100 people. And I say that as a gay man who lost many friends in the AIDS epidemic. I'm not here to diminish the impact of the AIDS epidemic. What I would like to do is convey, we do not think of untreated addiction in the crisis level that it has found us. And that's just the fatality rate. It's really important, and you guys know way better than we do because you're on the front lines of it. But our foster care system is completely overwhelmed, and more than 75% of the kids that are in that system right now are there because of a parent's untreated addiction. We have the third highest youth incarceration rate in the country, and 76% of the young men at McLaren will tell you that they were drunk or high when they committed the crime they're incarcerated for, and the same number will tell you that they come from intergenerational, multi-generational addiction issues. High school graduation rates, homelessness. I think we're this, as you well know, we are the second worst in the country. So there are all these symptoms of this disease that Oregon has not been successful in addressing, primarily because we have pretty much abandoned 20 years ago an effort to deal with this disease. And that's changing, and Oregon Recovers is part of that change. And the proclamation, Mr. Mayor, that you're issuing today in tandem and shoulder to shoulder with the other mayors and city councils around the state is helping us turn the tide on that and helping the public to begin to understand that we're gonna have to make some important choices. But really at the end of the day, what it's doing is it's getting the folks in Salem, whether they're in the elected bodies with the leadership of Representative Sanchez, who's been extraordinary, or within the buildings of OHA and DHS and the Department of Corrections, coming together around this strategic planning process, that we will have a new blueprint for a continuum of care that collectively looks at reducing the addiction rate from the fourth highest to the lowest and increasing the recovery rate dramatically in the state. And we're proud to be a part of that, and we're really grateful that you have become a part of that as well.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Next, we'll hear from Jay Miles about his own personal story.
Hello, Mayor Wheeler, honorable commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is Miles, and I've struggled with problematic alcohol use and methamphetamine addiction for my entire adult life. Several times in my life, I've lost everything that I've worked hard for. I've watched my life fall apart, leaving me unemployed, homeless, friendless, with my family unwilling to talk to me, and without the resources to access treatment. Everyone is different, but for me, the cycle was always the same. After a period of abstinence, I would start drinking. After a while, I'd find my way back to crystal meth. 12-step programs worked for me for a while, treatment programs worked for a while, but eventually I'd end up back where I started, with all my belongings fitting into a duffel and a couple of garbage bags. It wasn't until I discovered on my own naltrexone, a medication available since the year I was born, used for treating alcohol use disorder, that I was able to break the cycle. I used to have a lot of shame about my addiction, or what I now know to call internalized stigma. People told me, and I believed, that it was my choice to do drugs, and my fault my life was ruined again. And now I know it doesn't matter how much I want to say no, how much I care about myself, my family, my life, my job, anything. Because addiction damages the part of the brain that allows a person to say no. For me to be able to say no, I need skills and resources. I work in a homeless shelter. And every day I see people who don't belong in a shelter. They need to be in treatment. And it's a high barrier shelter. So when people show up, they're generally abstinent, what most people call clean. But shelter life is stressful, and it's a different kind of stress than being out on the street. And so many times I see people relapse, and because of the lack of treatment beds, they get put onto waiting lists. But they don't make it to the front of those lists a lot of the times. Before their number comes up, their addiction takes hold, and they go out the door, we don't see them again. Maintaining motivation in the face of addiction is complicated, and when we can't get people into treatment right away, we often lose the window of opportunity to get them help. I hear in their words that internalized stigma that I'm so familiar with. I'm just weak. I don't want it bad enough. Clearly, I don't care about myself. I don't care about my family. Whatever they've been told that they've held on to, and it's heartbreaking. You know, I love my job because I get to provide a counter-narrative and tell them that it's not their fault that they're addicted, but they do have the power to recover. They just need those skills and those resources. But all over the country, and especially here in Oregon, those resources are in short supply. So I'm here today to tell you we can and we do recover. I see it every day. And to ask that we do something to address this deficit so that we can all have the opportunity to have happy lives of fulfillment and purpose, like I have. So Mayor Wheeler and Honorable Commissioners, thank you very much for standing with Oregon Recovers and the larger recovery community here in Portland. And we hope that today's affirmation of our work is just the beginning of a partnership to address the public health crisis of addiction.
Thank you.
Mayor, normally we read the proclamation, then we do a photograph, and that's the end of it. Will you entertain some questions now, or do you want us to wait?
Well, this is their presentation. Would you like to entertain questions now, or would you like to wait till prior to reading the proclamation?
I think it would be fine to entertain some questions now. The next thing that we have on our agenda is a song and then some closing remarks from our local organizing committee. As the folks from our Portland Wellbriety movement set up, I think we can take some questions.
Great. Commissioner Fish.
Well, thank you for a very powerful presentation. And, you know, all of us have family members, friends, loved ones who have experienced addiction, that have shaped our lives. It's ubiquitous. I guess the question I have for you, Mike, and it flows from one of the events I went to, Oregon Recovers events, where we talked about a legislative agenda. We share your interest in moving off of the 50th out of 50 position in the nation in access to services. Two-thirds of the people that we interview on the streets when we do our regular federally mandated check-ins self-identify. Two-thirds self-identify as either having a mental health crisis, an addiction, or both. And anecdotally, when you walk downtown, you see people that are in distress all the time. So it reminds me that we have a similar agenda with you in terms of transforming the system at the state level, because that's what it's going to take. We have to do fundamental change. We have the benefit of having a wonderful government relations team. What I want to just propose is a closer alignment between your governmental agenda, your agenda that you bring to Salem and our agenda, because I think I don't think we highlight enough this issue, but we're getting slammed, obviously, with the opioid crisis. We're getting slammed with addiction. We're losing too many people on our streets who have addiction. So I'd welcome your response, Mike, but I think it's a good time to revisit the question of how we can better align, because I know you're doing great work in setting the bar very high in terms of where you want the state to be, and that's not 50 out of 50.
Right.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, Commissioner, thank you very much for that. This process that the state is going through that we urge the legislature and the governor to focus on is creating a new blueprint for a total continuum of care, and that process is going on right now. And so I think it's, Oregon Recovers has convened about 50 stakeholders from around the state to participate in providing input to that. We don't have city representatives or county representatives for the most part as part of that, but that doesn't mean we can't do that. We're planning in November to have a statewide summit where the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission will bring their draft plan, and we want 300, 400 stakeholders to sit down and give it a final one over and say, look, this big piece of it is a problem for us, and either we can resolve it in the plan or we can recognize that as it moves through the system. But We would love very much so to have the cities and counties be a part of that input process.
Well, and let me just say that there is obviously this process of input, but once you've settled on a strategy, there's an opportunity for us to put into our legislative priorities a couple of these things and then unleash our A-team when they go down to Salem to be lobbying, because obviously, it's playing out on our streets in ways that are very detrimental to human beings, and we want to better understand what the long-term plan is in Salem. So, I would urge you, as we start developing our legislative plan, maybe think less about involving us at the table and shaping the plan, but sharing the plan with us,
right?
So that we have an opportunity as a council to decide what portions of it we can prioritize and put into our legislative agenda, both federal and state.
Absolutely. Commissioner, the one thing I would add as well is once we have a plan, a comprehensive plan, we have to pay for that plan, and there's going to need to be new money in there. And so having the cities and counties and Oregon's thought leaders back up the legislature and the governor on some hard decisions is going to be very, very important. And I don't know what those hard decisions are right now, but I want to start to put down markers that we're not going to solve this just by reorganizing the system, although that has to happen as well. We're going to need to get new revenue. Once we have a plan with very clear outcomes of how that money is going, what that money is going to cause and effect, and ultimately save. Absolutely, we will coordinate so that we provide you all with what our agenda items are, but also we'll come to you to back up the political infrastructure in Salem to make sure they have the political will to do this.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you all for your presentation. I hope that as the blueprint is being developed, that we're also looking at the burden we're putting on community social service agencies, because we can't keep pretending that somehow we are actually treating those employees fairly when we're delegating the most vulnerable people in our community's care to people who are living on the edges. And so the plan can't just be about the service. It has to also be about the people who are providing those services. And let me just say, as you know, the city is not supposed to be involved. We have these clear governmental
not so clear.
Boxes. Both the Oregon Health Authority, the governor, the legislature, and all county health departments, right, all the ones that get those funds from the state. But having said that, every single day we are experiencing people who are suffering on our street.
Right.
And we have an obligation as a city to make sure that we are helping people repair their lives, right? I'm on board, but I also want to say our last legislative session limited local governments from being able to raise funds to do things they want to do in their local community. So we have to hold our legislator accountable when they take away our local tools to be able to make things happen. And so thank you all for being here. And I didn't have a question, but just wanted to make sure that we were all in lockstep and not forgetting the most vulnerable workers who are working with our most vulnerable people.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
I just wanted to echo Commissioner Hardesty's comments. So we did have enough in our state agenda this year to urge funding for mental health care and addiction, and to to have that, some of that go to better paying our workers better. We cannot continue to expect people with master's degree to be making $15 an hour or less with no job security. And that's not good for the people in treatment either, because the providers move on. So it's really great that you're bringing us this grassroots effort, and we will continue to have in our state and federal agendas support for funding for these services. And definitely you've got a friend in City. You've got many friends in Portland City Hall.
Thank you. And I think your support like this is exactly what we need to begin to make those systemic changes and shifts happen. So I'd like to turn it over to our Portland Wellbriety folks for a song.
Hello, my name is Kurt Jim, a member of Wellbriety. The song we're going to sing is the Chief Joseph song. It's in the history of it, it's when they went to battle in war, and he had casualties in their tribe when they lost warriors or something. The chief would come back and let the people know that they had casualties by singing this song. And then the families would know that they had deaths in the war party, and they'd come see who it was. And this is his way of telling the people that they had deaths in the tribe. And with this song, it's got meaning for other people, but in my way, you know, we lost a lot of people to this disease, and this is how I perceive honoring this people's spirit with this song.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And lastly, on behalf of our local organizing committee, I'd like to invite Megan McAvoy and Patrick Brown on behalf of Oregon Recover's Advocacy Committee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Megan McAvoy.
I'm Patrick Brown.
We are speaking to you on behalf of the Portland Advocacy Committee of Oregon Recovers. The rest of the committee is immersed in this crowd. I want to start by thanking the mayor and his staff for their partnership on this proclamation. A special shout out to Seraphie Allen and Zach Curl, who were kind and welcoming as we leaped into advocacy work, most of us with no experience. I also want to thank the commissioners who responded to our request to meet one-on-one. Those sessions were very meaningful to us. A year ago last fall, I could not have imagined myself being here with you today. I was in a completely different space, new to the role as a parent of a young adult daughter with addiction. The last time I was in this room, she was being sworn in as a Multnomah County Youth Commissioner. I was scared and frustrated by the barriers to treatment in Portland. My daughter's life was at risk. One night I wondered if anyone else was feeling the same way. Was anyone trying to address this problem? I started Googling and came across Oregon Recovers. I checked the box that said I wanted to volunteer. At the Oregon Recovers Summit last spring in Eugene, those of us from Portland started finding each other. We shared names and phone numbers and a resolve to do something. We came together as a committee and met weekly over pizza this summer to create shared data and language about addiction as a public health crisis. So we are pleased and grateful to you for your proclamation language, recognizing addiction as a chronic disease, often requiring multiple episodes of care and a lifetime of support, and recognizing that addiction is a treatable condition, as exemplified by the millions of people who identify as being in recovery. Thank you.
Thank you.
This morning, you've heard about the cost of addiction, both at the personal and population level. But because of the scale of this issue, I have no doubt that you've already felt the impact of substance use disorders, if not through people that you love, then through the most challenging policy issues that you address in your offices. Addiction affects housing, incarceration, the foster care and educational systems, and Portland's public spaces. It affects the most vulnerable people in our communities. The rate of untreated addiction in Oregon and our undersupply of capacity to treat it pose a problem that few other states face to the same degree. Our lack of national visibility in these terms stems from the fact that in the midst of an opioid crisis, alcohol and methamphetamine addiction are largely ignored. But like Ohio and West Virginia, we can become nationally known on this issue, not because of our plight, but because of the way that we respond to it in this upcoming legislative session. Like Megan, I was inspired by the summit and the mission of Oregon Recovers. Oregon Recovers has taken a group united formerly by stigma and created a constituency united by a desire to take action. I became involved with the committee because addiction is important to me personally. And as a medical student, I found that it is the gravest issue facing the patients I hope to serve. Nearly everyone's life has been touched by addiction. I've learned that through this work. But more importantly, I've learned to be optimistic because of the incredible change that recovery has worked in people's lives. We believe that this state can change through recovery. We want to thank you again for your partnership in issuing this proclamation. Please consider Oregon Recovers a resource in your ongoing efforts to address addiction at the city level. Lastly, we ask you this coming February to join us in advocating to Oregon's state legislators for a well-funded strategic plan to address the addiction crisis. Lack of access to addiction treatment is a problem that we, together, have the wherewithal to solve, and one that is killing Portlanders every day we wait. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So that concludes our presentation.
Before I read the proclamation, I just want to say one thing. First of all, I want to thank everybody who came in. I want to thank Oregon Recovers. I want to thank you for orchestrating this in a way that I think it will have an impact on the legislative session in February. And I especially want to thank those of you who have shared your personal stories around either addiction in yourselves or your families or others. I just have to say one statistic that has not been mentioned yet, but I know you're well aware of this because I heard you mention this yesterday on Think Out Loud, which is that of the dollars that do go into addiction services in our state, only 3% is going towards prevention. That's a big part of the problem. We are an addicted society. We are. And we have not acknowledged that yet through our priorities. And it's also not clear to me who is in charge. And I think a big part of the problem we have in the state of Oregon is not enough leaders have stepped forward to say, I am in charge, and I take personal responsibility for this. I want you to know I do. Even though the city of Portland, we're not technically in the addiction services prevention or recovery business, but everything we do up here at this dais is in some means impacted by addiction, and our lack of prioritizing it and our lack of taking it seriously and our lack of coordinated leadership on this important subject and the lack of funding that it truly needs to get us out of that completely bottom of the pile slot where we currently find ourselves in terms of providing access to addiction recovery. I'm very passionate about this, as I hope you can tell. Yes, addiction has impacted my family. It's impacted many people that I interact with on a daily basis, and it is overwhelming us as a community. We do need that action plan, and you guys are leading it, and I'm really proud of you, and I thank you for it. I'm in, so let me know how I can help. So we as a council have these proclamations. They are more than words. They are a statement of our values. And so it's a real honor for me to be able to read this proclamation and understand that this proclamation on behalf of this city council has been read by other city councils, and it will be read by many more before we go down to Salem together in February. Whereas addiction is a chronic disease, often requiring multiple episodes of care and a lifetime of support. And whereas addiction is a treatable condition, as exemplified by the millions of people who identify as being in recovery. And whereas, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, Oregon has the fourth highest addiction rate in the country. And whereas, according to SAMHSA, Oregon ranks 50th in access to addiction treatment. And whereas, according to an Eco Northwest analysis, untreated addiction costs Oregon taxpayers $5.9 billion annually. And whereas, five Oregonians die each day in alcohol-related deaths, and one to two Oregonians die each day from drug overdoses. And whereas, more than 2,100 people die each year in Oregon from untreated addiction. And whereas, addiction disproportionately impacts marginalized and underserved populations, including veterans, rural populations, Native communities, the LGBTQ+ community, and communities of color. Whereas, the City of Portland supports addiction services in conjunction with its efforts to reduce homelessness and recidivism through the Portland Housing Bureau, Joint Office of Homeless Services, and the Portland Police Bureau. And we should have added the Parks Bureau to that as well. Whereas the legislature has tasked the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission with producing a strategic plan to address addiction in the state of Oregon. And whereas Oregon will be the first state to measure a recovery rate, a metric which can be used to track the success of alcohol and drug policies per the Commission's strategic plan. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, the Mayor of City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim September of 2019 to be Recovery Month The city is committed to reducing our untreated addiction rate and providing public health support and services for individuals experiencing addiction issues alongside its partners across the state and across the nation. Thank you. Quick photo up front.
So folks involved with Oregon Recovers, come on forward for a photo.
Would you mind getting right in the middle and holding that? Okay. Let me see. See, I don't want to.
This one.
Thank
you.
Thanks again.
Get friendly, everybody.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
We
like each other.
You don't give a shit.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Nice try.
Thank you, everybody. Go get them. Thank you.
Tell them I said that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I totally agree. You know, 100%. You know, I've got
it's this one? Okay.
Now I can tell.
I can do it.
It's been decades not doing it.
Jessica?
Yes.
All right, Carla.